Welcome to Truth Bombs and Tea. I'm your host, Tina Bindon, and today we are diving into the topic of why your emotional intelligence matters more than your IQ. So let's cut right to the chase, guys. Your impressive degree or your sky-high IQ isn't worth much if you can't read a room or manage your emotions or understand what makes other people tick. So that's not being harsh by any means. It's the truth about how to be successful in today's world, whether that is personally or professionally. So EQ, your emotional quotient, or it can actually be referred to as EI, which is emotional intelligence, is the secret superpower that separates truly successful and happy people from perpetually frustrated so-called geniuses, wondering why nobody appreciates their greatness. So what is emotional intelligence anyway? So it's not some new age concept fluffy bullshit cooked up by HR departments to torture us. It's actually a really legitimate and important set of skills that determines how well you navigate the messy world of human emotions and your connection to other people. So at its core then, emotional intelligence really consists of four things. One is self-awareness, which is knowing what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. And spoiler alert, most people are clueless about this. Second is self-management. So that's being able to control your reactions emotionally instead of letting them control you. You know, things like you're not going to go and tell someone to get effed, even if they do deserve it. Social awareness is number three. That's reading the emotional temperature of other people and groups. And the last one is relationship management. So using the understanding of emotions to build and maintain really deep and effective relationships. You know how some people just are liked by everyone, or you just click with a certain person? Odds are that person has worked hard to increase and develop their EI. So think of it this way, your IQ helps you solve complex problems, but your EQ helps you deal with complex people, including that complex mess you're looking at in the mirror, okay? So why should you care about EQ? You might be thinking, I'm doing fine without focusing on all this emotional mumbo jumbo. Are you though? Let's look at what the research tells us. So people with IQ, or high EQ, earn an average of $30,000 more per year than their low EQ counterparts. So now you're kind of interested, aren't you? Or at least your bank account is. So 90% of the top earners or performers have high emotional intelligence. So if you think about some of the people personally and professionally that you admire, and that they're at the top of their game, it's no coincidence that they have high emotional intelligence. So EQ accounts for around 58% of success in all types of jobs. That's across the board, okay? So your skills only get you so far, in other words. Only 36% of people can accurately identify their emotions as they're happening. So most of us are kind of emotionally stunted. So here's a truth bomb. So your brilliant ideas and your technical wizardry means absolutely nothing if you can't communicate them effectively, collaborate with other people, handle criticism, or manage your stress well. Okay. So the workplace has changed. So we're no longer individuals churning out work and widgets and whatever in our isolated cubicles. So we're very interconnected team members now. The world is a global village and we have to navigate complex human dynamics every single day. And in that environment, EQ is not an option, it's an essential. But this is just isn't about work or your career. Your emotional intelligence affects every single relationship in your life. Your friendships, your romantic partnerships, your family connections. Heck, even the relationship you might have with your barista that you get your coffee from every morning. So low EQ is kind of like walking through life with blinkers on and then wondering why you keep bumping into walls. So let's go beyond the jargon and really get some real world examples of why EQ or EI is so important. So what does it look like in the real world? Okay, let's take a workplace, a couple of workplace examples, and then I'll give you a personal one as well. So say that you are coming up for a review at work. So a person with low EQ responds by thinking their boss is criticizing them. They get defensive. They may even argue each point. They will make excuses and blame things like tech difficulties or what they perceive as Slack team members and throw them under the bus. And they will leave the meeting like seething or shamed out or angry. Okay. A high EQ response would be that you would listen fully. You would ask questions to clarify things that you wanted to understand better. You would thank them for specific feedback. You would acknowledge areas that you could improve. And you may even ask for suggestions of resources that you can use, courses that you could go on to help you develop those skills in those areas that you need improvement on. And later on, you can process any negative emotions because you still might be like, oh, you know, I think that's a bit harsh, or whatever your private musings are, you will do them in private instead of like spewing them back to your boss or all over the workplace. So here's another scenario. You're overwhelmed at work. You know, maybe there's a lot of projects on you. You've got a lot of responsibility. Someone with a low EQ becomes very overwhelmed and stresses out. They snap at people. You know, they start making careless mistakes. Then they blame other people for that. And they may even have like an angry outburst or an absolute meltdown, which then becomes, you know, an office legend or, you know, the butt of everybody's jokes. Someone with high EQ would recognize their stress signals early. So then they would communicate clearly, some boundaries, like today I need to focus on finishing this particular project. So if everyone, you know, unless somebody is about to die, please don't disturb me. You would take short breaks to regulate your emotions if you come to a sticking point or a frustration. And you may even like reschedule certain things that are not urgent. And lastly, you might even reach out for some support there rather than thinking it's all on you and then either imploding or exploding. So hopefully you can see the difference. In each of these scenarios, the high EQ person doesn't respond by suppressing emotions or being a people pleaser, but rather they handle their emotions intelligently to produce better outcomes, mainly for themselves, but also for, you know, the rest of the workplace. Because I don't know about you, but it really grinds my gears that if someone's having a bad day, they act like children and they take it out on everyone. I mean, we all have bad days. And the difference is, do we respond in a responsible way, or do we just let fly and crack a tantrum like a child, right? So this EQ helps us to become a responder rather than a reactor. So I have worked with a lot of people, I've taught a lot of people and mentored a lot of people over the years. And so I want to give you a scenario that's on a personal note rather than a professional note. So one of the clients that I used to coach had an issue, a big crossroads, where she was thinking she might want to leave her husband, and we were sort of working through that process. And she was very triggered by a lot of the things that he did. And we unpacked that using a emotionally intelligent process, which is those four components that I outlined for you before. So to become aware of what she was doing and what she was feeling and maybe where those triggers were coming from, to be able to manage those in a more healthy way than reacting to it. And as we unpacked things, it became clear to her that some of the things that her husband was doing, yeah, they were bloody annoying, and I didn't blame her, but some other things were really about what she was, the stories she was telling herself and the way she was not processing things and not communicating things. And after the sessions that we had and the work that we did together, she decided to just implement the things that we were working on emotionally with herself and then, you know, press pause on the emotional reaction of, oh, I'm just getting a divorce because he's a dickhead, he's an idiot. Fast forward 12 months later, she contacted me again and told me all the things that had happened that had transformed her relationship with her husband. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, he's not now some sort of Prince Charming, but I guess in a way he is her Prince Charming. So she realized that by tweaking those things, things started to change because she wasn't so defensive, he wasn't so defensive. He even started picking up some of her emotional intelligence tips. And yeah, of course, they've still got their ups and downs. Who doesn't? I think any strong, robust relationship that is deep and meaningful will have ups and downs, okay? But the thing is, the ups are fantastic and the downs are not as down. And it's all because of emotional intelligence. Okay, so here are some brutal truths for you, my friends. So before you say, oh, you know, my marriage is fabulous and I never have any difficulties, or, you know, we've never had a crossword in our life, or, you know, I don't need to work on my emotions because my emotional intelligence is fine. I just want you to check yourself against some of these warning signs, okay? And these are signs that, not that you're a bad person, not at all, but that you may need to focus on emotional intelligence and develop those skills, okay? So here they are, coming at you. You're frequently surprised when people are upset with you, okay? It comes out and you think, why? You know, I haven't done anything wrong. But there seems to be quite a few people that, you know, are upset with you. You might believe that most conflicts are other people's problems, in air quotes. And sometimes, look, they are other people's problems. But if that's the general way you look at it and go, hey, nothing to see here, it's all them, that's a red flag. Maybe your relationships follow a pattern of, like, initial excitement and it's great and it's fabulous. But then following that, there's big dramatic blow-ups. Maybe you think nobody really understands you and you feel that kind of isolation. That's another indicator. Feedback of any sort feels like a personal attack on you rather than useful information that you can use to improve. You're convinced you just need to be yourself and that others should just fall in line and just accept it. And then the last indicator that you need to look at your EQ and develop better skills in that area is that, you know, stress, when you're stressed out, it tends to hijack your behavior and then you act in ways that later on you feel regretful about. So these, any of these or all of these really indicate that you need to develop your EQ, okay? And the good news is that unlike IQ, which is, you know, experts say it's fairly fixed, when we're born. EQ is a skill that you can develop, okay? So let's take some concrete steps here. So I'm going to give you some small action steps and some explanation as to why it's important. And they're very simple and they're very doable, and they will make a big impact on how you feel within yourself and your relationships with other people. So the first one is build your emotional vocabulary. So most people, when you ask them how they're feeling, they say fine, good, you know, bad, I'm feeling bad, or I'm pissed. So that sort of basic language, that not nuanced language, that sort of generalized language, is like trying to create a gourmet cuisine and the only things that you have are salt and pepper. Okay, so here's the action step I want you to consider. So when you are feeling an emotion, get specific. Like, are you irritated? Are you frustrated? Are you disappointed? Are you worried? Okay, so if you are not very good with labeling your emotions, then Google the feelings wheel. It'll give you a whole range of nuanced emotional labels and language that you can start using. Now, the reason why we want to do this is because if you don't know that you're feeling anxious and you just use the word bad, I'm feeling bad, that is so broad that you can't really do anything about that. But if you say I'm feeling frustrated, then you can pull out the specifics. Well, what am I frustrated about? Okay, if you're feeling disappointed, what are you disappointed about? And just the fact that you can label that word as disappointment rather than bad gives you the right level. Like, I'm disappointed in you, or I'm disappointed in myself because, you know, I said I was going to jog 3 times this week and I haven't jogged at all, right? That gives you the level. Yeah, okay, you're disappointed. If you're feeling bad about yourself because you said you were going to jog 3 times this week and you haven't done any, that's a very heavy emotion. So being able to articulate gives you the tool to be able to move forward and do something about it rather than these global doomsday sort of terms. And it also allows you to accurately see the level of the emotion. Not everything is bad or tragic or good or fine. Okay. Number two, create a physical early warning system for yourself. So your body signals emotional shifts before your brain even does. So learn to recognize your patterns. So for me, when I'm angry, my chest tightens up. When I'm stressed, my neck and shoulders start to hurt. When I'm scared, I have that kind of butterflies in the tummy. And sometimes my face goes red as well. Like if I feel like really shamed out or horribly guilty about something. So your action step is throughout the day, like scan your body for changes in tension. Maybe your breathing is changing. You're holding your breath. You are breathing very rapidly or shallowly. Maybe your energy levels take a nosedive. So note what emotions correspond with the physical sensations. And then these serve as an early warning sign. So take note. Do something about it. So if your breathing is very rapid, pause and take 3 deep breaths. If you are starting to get tension in your shoulders or neck, then go outside for a 5-minute break. Okay. These physical things act as messengers to tell you you need to change course, even if it's just for a brief amount of time. Because when you don't, the energy builds and builds and builds, and that's generally when we have some sort of reactive outburst. Number three, practice the pause. So that space between what happens and how you respond is powerful. So next time you're triggered on something, count to 10 or take 3 deep breaths or physically remove yourself by, you know, standing up from your desk or stepping back from someone or stepping outside. Even a 3-second pause can prevent an outburst that you're later going to regret and you can't take back. Number four, develop some curiosity about other people. And yes, here's another truth bomb. The world doesn't revolve around us and it's not all about us at all times. Okay, shocker, but yeah. So most people don't listen. Like we talk to be heard. And then if we do pause, it's just so that we can catch our breath and then jump in again most times. Okay. So your action step is like in the next two or three conversations that you have, commit then to learning something new in that situation with that person. So ask follow-up questions based on what they say. So actually listen without already playing through all the responses you're going to give them. Allow those responses to float through your mind like a cloud and go away and be present with them, right? So be genuinely curious rather than thinking about what you're going to say next. So, you know, if Betty from the office is telling you about her collection of troll dolls and you really don't care about it, just for shits and giggles, say, oh, okay, when did you start collecting these troll dolls? Okay. These tiny things show that you're open to hearing about things that are either interesting or not interesting, frankly. And the things that you find interesting, not everyone's going to talk about. And when you dismiss people out of hand, like, ugh, I don't want to hear about troll dolls, you know, that's creepy, or babyish, you're really closing the door on developing any sort of relationships with people. Number five, seek feedback, okay? And you can send feedback too, but seek feedback about your blind spots. And we all have them. It doesn't matter who it is and how quote unquote successful or brilliant or whatever they are, everyone has blind spots, you know, where we don't see how our behavior is actually affecting other people. We may not intend it. Some people do intend it. And, you know, that's a whole nother podcast episode. But ask a trusted person in your life, one that you know loves you and genuinely wants to see you succeed and has your back, and say, when I'm not in a great mood or when I'm down or when I'm frustrated or stressed, like what's that like to be on the receiving end of that? And just listen. Like don't defend, don't jump in there and explain or justify or excuse. Just listen, because that person loves you and they're not saying these things to hurt you. They're saying these things to teach you and so that you have information in which to then develop greater skills around that area. Number six. Practice empathic listening. Another way of saying this is active listening, okay? Most arguments or disagreements or, you know, terrible discomforts can escalate because people don't feel like they're being heard. We've all had that. We've all been in a situation where we're starting to get increasingly annoyed and angered because the person feeding back to us or talking at us doesn't really even understand the whole point of what we're trying to say. So this is the action step that I'd like you to take. In your next disagreement, try this. Two questions. So what I'm hearing you say is blah, blah, blah. Is that right? So let me fill in the blanks. So what I'm hearing you say about me leaving my underwear all over the floor in every room of the house is that you feel like me being messy like that shows disrespect for you. Is that right? So immediately when you can feed back and reflect back an accurate interpretation, the walls come down. They stop being so angry. The steam starts to, you know, dissolve from their ears because they're like, oh, actually you are listening. And yes, that is exactly how I feel. Okay. And then wait for the confirmation. Maybe they say something like, yeah, basically, but I know you love me, but you know, I have asked you many, many times to pick up your underwear from all over the floor. In which case, then you use those questions again, you know, and you say, so what I'm hearing you saying is, you know, you do feel like I'm disrespecting you, but you also feel like I'm not listening to you. Is that right? So using those two questions, so what I'm hearing you say is, and is that right, allows you to de-escalate and come to some sort of a neutral pathway where you can then, you know, move towards a win-win. And the last one is expand your comfort or capacity with discomfort. So emotional growth, both your own and other people's, sort of happens at the edge of your comfort zone, like most worthwhile things in life, okay? So I want you to deliberately engage in one conversation this week you've been avoiding. And here's the avoidance trap, right? We all want to avoid discomfort. I mean, who doesn't? But when you avoid another person, you're kind of being counterproductive because it's the short-term discomfort you might gain by avoiding them, but you're actually building up a long-term resentment. So really you're shooting your own self in the foot by avoiding it. The earlier you can address something, the better. It's kind of like sweeping something under the rug. That's the avoidance. Not too long away, you'll turn around and the rug is a mountain. Like that little bit of dust that was under the rug that you didn't even see initially now becomes Mount Everest, right? So I want you to set your intention for this week. If there's a difficult conversation, have it. And just remain emotionally neutral, okay? So use the tips that I've given you and use it as a feedback loop. And think of it like that, not a personal attack, okay? Use those tools that I've shared with you and see, okay? Bonus points if you get yourself a little notebook and, you know, it's all of your experimental emotional intelligence tasks and reflect on them, see how they've gone. And remember to apply it over time, guys, right? All right. So, what's actually possible? Like, what's the payoff for you? You'll make better decisions because you're not going to be clouded by, you know, unrecognized emotional reactions. Your relationships are going to be deeper. They're going to be more authentic, whether that's personal or professional. You're going to be able to have a setback and recover quicker. And you're not going to be like drowning in drama or sabotaging yourself. You're going to be able to navigate conflicts like constructively and be able to respond to them rather than react to them, okay? And you won't need to blow relationships up or burn bridges. You'll be able to influence positively other people around you as well as, you know, develop your leadership skills. You're going to experience less stress, hello, and feel a lot better within yourself. Your well-being is going to skyrocket. And you're also going to be able to break free from those repetitive sort of bad habits and emotional patterns that really truly limit us. Okay, so the bottom line, guys, is that IQ will get you through the door, but your EQ determines how far you'll go once you're in there. And AI and robots and things like that, things are going to be more and more automated, right? So your ability to navigate complex human dynamics and emotions, that's where your competitive advantage is because technical skills are going to be almost phased out. But leadership, someone who can problem solve, someone who can communicate, someone who can lead a team and build a team, that's where the power lies. So here's my challenge to you. For the next 30 days, treat emotional intelligence, sorry, put my false teeth back in, as seriously as you would any other professional skill, okay? So apply the steps that I've given you and notice what changes. Or you could ignore everything and go on about your day and then continue wondering why, you know, drama follows you around or other people don't appreciate you or you feel isolated or whatever it is, right? But the fact that you're still listening to this makes me suspect that you're ready to level up your emotional intelligence and frankly, your meaning and connection in life, okay? And your future self, is going to thank you for starting this today and also continuing with it. Because just like at the gym, you don't lift one weight and then have a bodybuilder's body. It's what you do every day or most days that completely transform your life. And this is worth it. Because the truth is, emotional intelligence isn't just a nice thing to have. It's the difference between thriving and merely surviving in today's world. So until next time, this is Tina from Truth Bombs and Tea. And remember, make the rest of your life the best of your life.